Tonight I want to preach on the thought of to trust, what it means to trust in fear. We tell people just trust the Lord. Just trust God, Brother Marvin. But yet we never tell people how to trust God. Right? Folk are scared to death and wondering what's going on in their life, whether it is a personal issue or whether they're looking at the political arena that is going on now, whether they're looking at all the sickness that is coming on, and we act like a lot of times that God don't know what's going on. Now, here's one thing I want you to get through your mind tonight and into your heart that I struggle with sometimes is He still got it all under control tonight. Amen. God's still in control. He's still seated on the throne tonight. Listen, He knows what is going on. And so as we look in Psalms chapter 56 tonight, David is in a battle. He has been against his enemies here, and he is worried. He is fearful in that of what his enemies are capable of doing to him. And he is complaining to the Lord. So I ask you to stand to your feet tonight as we read Psalms chapter 56, and I'll give you what God has given us. Good to see everybody tonight. Amen. Glad you're here. Psalms 56, look in verse 1. The Bible says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In Thine anger cast down the people, O God. And Thou tellest my wanderings. Put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Well, ain't that wonderful tonight? Amen. "In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living and be seated." Heavenly Father, touch us now. Save somebody that's lost and help us. And might You have the glory out of this message for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I look at this passage of Scripture, and one of the verses that always catches my mind and my eye is verse 3. Very few times in David's life do you ever hear him say that he would be afraid. A lot of times he would say, "I will not be afraid of what the enemy can do." He would say, "I will trust in the Lord, so therefore I will not be afraid." But in this passage of Scripture here, we find that he says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." And so fear seems to have gripped David's life. And what little study I've done, this may be a time that David is over and the Philistines has got him in Gath. I don't know if that's correct or not, but nonetheless, the enemy that he has is against him. And he has become fearful. Now, can I say tonight, and you know I've preached on fear many times over the years here, that fear is a great motivator, but it's also a great debilitator. It will debilitate us to keep us from doing what needs to be done. And a lot of times it will motivate us sometimes into doing some things that need to be done. As I've said many times, listen, I was fearful of my dad growing up, so that motivated me to do what I needed to do in service to him. But we find right here that there was something in that. Somebody was against David. And we find that he felt as though that they were going to kill him, because in verse 13 he said, "For Thou hast delivered my soul from death." And so he felt as though that he was going to be killed, as though the enemy might get him. And listen, how many times, and maybe you've never been there, but you just felt like something was going to get you.
You may not be there tonight, but friend, if you ain't been there and you're not there, chances are you will be there one day after a while. And you felt like maybe this might be the end, whether it's a personal battle or a fear that you have or something that's come into your life or whether it is a spiritual battle, nonetheless, fear has gripped you. Many times we don't want to admit that we've been fearful about anything. We don't want to admit that begins to show weakness. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. When I learned that the greatest men in the Bible were fearful at times, that helped me to understand some things. Paul talks about, he said, for when we were come to Macedonia, he said, without were fightings and within were fears. And so I want to preach tonight with just that thought, to trust in fear. Have you ever wondered in your life if God was going to show up at any time? Would God be faithful to show up and help during this time? Now, this goes very well with the Sunday school lesson this morning, but if you was here for that, but have you ever wondered if God will show up? Or will God show up like He has before? God ever showed up for you before? We'll deal with that here in a minute. Number one tonight, how to trust in a time of fear. First of all, you got to know Him. You got to know Him. I mean, not know something about Him, but know Him tonight. Listen tonight. First of all, let me say that you need to be saved. If you've never been saved, then you don't know Him tonight. I mean, you just don't know Him. I mean, you can listen to me preach about trusting the Lord. You can listen to me preach and tell you to put all your faith in Him and He'll see you through it. But friend, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know Him tonight in salvation, He's not your helper tonight. Amen. I mean, the Bible talks about over in the book of Titus over there, chapter 3, He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He set on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Is He your Savior tonight? The Bible said in the book of Little John over there that He is the Savior of the whole world, but have you ever trusted Him to be your Savior? Listen, you got to know Him tonight in salvation. He's not a help tonight if you've never been saved. He cannot help you and will not help you. Listen, and I want you to understand something. The only help you need tonight is to know that you're going to heaven. Amen. Hey, there was a night in my life that I needed that help. I needed that concern. I lifted off of me and took away from me. And God come by and helped me with that. Amen. So if you're lost tonight, you need to know Him in salvation. I think when Paul talks about that I may know Him and know Him in the power of His resurrection, being made conformable to His death, and all that, I don't think Paul's talking about being saved. But listen tonight, after you get saved, you ought to get to know Him just a little more, shouldn't you, tonight? Let me ask you tonight, how much do you know Him? How much do you know Him as a child of God tonight? How much do you know Him? I mean, how much time have you spent with Him? I'm talking about how to trust in the midst of fear. Listen, the only way to get to know Him tonight is in this book right here. Amen? You can't get to know Him outside of this book. The Bible said in Romans chapter 15, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You get to know Him because a preacher preached, or a mama told you, or a daddy told you, or a Sunday school teacher, I told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come to know Him, and that in the power of His salvation, and He makes you clean. He come to where you were, as it's sung about tonight. But then, I listen, outside of salvation, we come to know Him, and that by Scripture tonight, when we read about Him. You know why you need to read about Him and what He can do for you? Because you know nothing else about Him without this book. Paul said, for when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. And this is what I quoted a few minutes ago. He said, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Have you ever been cast down? Do you know what that literally means? You know what the word cast means? It means to throw. Do you know what it means to be thrown down? Think about that for just a second. Paul says, for those that are cast down, God comforts those that are cast down. If you ever been cast down in your mind, ever been cast down in your soul, been fearful of what you were facing, been fearful of life, been fearful of what's going on, been fearful of the situation that you were in, you say, God, I don't know how you're going to get me out of this one. Well, begin to open your Bible and read it. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Our learning. Our learning. That we can learn about Him and know about Him and know what He's capable of and know what He wants to do for His children. First of all, to learn that what you're going through, listen, as long as it ain't of your making. Well, let me say this, that even when it is of our making, when we realize what we're the mess that we've got ourselves into, I'm glad the Lord will come and help us. Amen. I mean, He's good at helping us out of a mess that we've made. And boy, ain't you glad for that tonight, that He just don't leave us out to wallow around in our own mess out there. I mean, the prodigal came to himself. I thank God he came to himself. And you know, when you come to yourself and you look and say, boy, what a great big mess I made. But you know what? He decided he'd go home. As a matter of fact, he said, how many servants does my father have? And I had bread enough to spare. And he said, and here I sat and I starved to death. He said, I will go home, and here's what I'll say. He said, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And boy, the Bible said, as he got headed home, that father that was looking out at that old dusty road out through there, as he began to look out through there, he seen his son coming. And the Bible said, while he was yet a great way off, he seen him and he ran to him and he fell on him and he kissed his neck. And the son began to say, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you and no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father cut him off right there. He helped him in the shape that he was in. But you know, sometimes it's not of our making and of our doing. You can go look at Job and you'll find that Job was in the shape that he was in because he served God. Job was a just and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, the Bible tells us. You know what that means? He was right with God and he still lost everything that he had. And yet, in the midst of all that tribulation, by the way, there's 42 chapters in the book of Job. Listen, there's 42 months in the tribulation period. I don't know if they tie together. It seems like they would, wouldn't it? Seems like that'd be a book of tribulation tonight, don't it? I find it funny, and most of y'all know what I'm about to say about Job right here. As they taught us, Job is supposedly the oldest book in the Bible. And the first book that God gave us was Job, was about a man who loved God, but yet he lost everything, and he went through the hardest times of his life. Reckon why God made that the oldest book in the Bible? Think about that for just a minute. Why did God choose to write the story about Job and make him the oldest book in the Bible? Why is that? I think Job 14 and 1 answers that. Man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Our life is nothing but trouble a lot of times. But yet there's one to help us. Where do we find our trust at and our help at? I must be in the Word of God. Paul said, for when we come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest but was troubled on every side. Paul is trying to serve God and preach the gospel to win souls, but yet everywhere he went, he had trouble. Think about that for just a second. He was trying to serve God. He said, without were fightings, within were fears. Inside of me, I had fears. Wondered what God was going to do and be capable of doing. And then he said this, nevertheless, God, whether we had fears, whether I was fighting on the outside and inside had fears, he said, nevertheless, God, who comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. 2 Corinthians calls him the God of all comfort. Acts chapter 27, when the Apostle Paul is on the ship and that headed to Rome and he gets caught in that Euroclodon, that great big storm, and they end up, I've been in the midst of it for over 14 days. I mean, for 14 days, they hadn't ate. For 14 days, they hadn't seen sun nor stars. And he said at one point, all hope that we'd be saved was taken away. You ever been in a storm of your life to where you had no hope? My wife said something this morning about Sister Margie that I thought made very good sense. She's on day 24, 25 of COVID and still does not feel well. And have you ever been so sick that you ever wondered if he's ever going to be well again? I wonder if she's in that place tonight, if she ever thinks that she would ever be well again. You know, we're sick for 2 or 3 days and we think the world's come to an end. I do. Ask my wife. I'm pitiful when I get sick, man. It's pitiful at my house. I mean, Brother Marvin, she's had to play psychiatrist and psychologist and nursemaid over the years. When I get sick, it's crazy at our house. But have you ever been to a place where there's fear crept in and all hope that you might get out of something is taken away? You can't see a way out. It's dark and you wonder. That's why you read the Word of God. When David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." When he makes that statement right there, he said, "Lord, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to trust in you." You trust in him, one, because he saved you. You trust in him because of Scripture. Because what you've read about him. But then you trust in him because of what he's accomplished for you and done for you. What has he done for you personally? What's he ever done for you in answering prayers? How many times has he ever come through? Made it in the nick of time. Just showed up. And there God was. You know why I keep going? Because he's always showed up. He's never failed. He's never quit. He's never left me alone. I mean, he's always answered my prayers. David put it like this in Psalm 17 and 3. He said, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the nighttime." He didn't say he turned the nighttime into day. He just said he visited me in the nighttime. How many times have you ever been living in the night and God just come by? How many times, let me ask you something, how many times physically have you laid in the bed of the nighttime and worried about things? Wondered about situations. Maybe about wayward children or problems in the home or sickness that might be rampant. Or, I mean job problems and financial worries and all kinds of woes. Can I ask you this? Has your adversary ever got you to believe of something that wasn't real? And worry you to death about something that just wasn't real? And you let your mind run away with you. And before you know it, you're worrying yourself to death about stuff that ain't even real. And it has become so real to you that it might as well be real because in your mind you think it is. I believe it was Adrian Rogers, wasn't it, Brother Jeff? That sometimes we outrun our grace a lot of times on things because that stuff ain't real. And even if it is real, it's way out yonder and we're outrunning our grace of what God wants us to have. But I do know this, that what he's done for me personally. Listen, how many times have you laid in your bed at night and finally you just said, "God, you're going to have to handle this thing. You're going to have to take it." And the next thing you know, you went to sleep. Just like that. I've rubbed my hands and wondered about things over the years. I've wondered. And just worried and worried. And what's funny is I'm not worried about the things that probably deserved worry and worried about the things that wasn't real. But how many times has God showed up for you personally? Personally. When he did come by in the nighttime spiritually and help you, answered your prayers, worked out a situation that was beyond your mind or whatever he could work out, you never would have thought of. I know some of your problems, but I don't know all your problems. I know some of the things that you all have worried about over the years, but I do not know all of them. And I know some things are still the way they were, but you just keep on going and serving God. You know, that's why there is a throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. How do we trust him We look back at the former days and see what He done for us in the past. He's still the same God. There's been days when my faith has been great, that I was a man of great faith. And then there's been times when I've been a man of weak faith. Why is that? You ever wonder why that is? Maybe you're not that way. Maybe you're a man or a woman of great faith all the time, and I hope you are. But I can tell you, I've talked to too many people to know that, listen, we're all about the same way. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. David talks about his enemies are after him. And let me say that fear is a real thing. And so he went on down here. Well, let me say in verse 4, in God I will praise His word. He talks about in verse 10, in God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. You need His word, friend. Don't forget that. You need His word. You need to listen to His word, the scripture of His word. But then number 2, and not only to know Him, but then number 2, to know of what He said in verse 9. He said, for God is for me. You need to know that God is for you. You need to know He's on your side. What was it that the psalmist said? I believe it was over in Psalms chapter 118. He said, I'll call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what men can do unto me. He said, the Lord's on my side. He didn't say, I'm on the Lord's side. He said, the Lord's on my side. Hey, He's for me and He's on my side. Now that's a wonderful thought tonight. Listen, Nick, God, listen, I'm telling you how you trust in Him in the midst of fear is you know Him, but then you know that He's for you tonight. God don't want you to fail. God don't want you to fear. We get a complex a lot of times thinking that God wants us to fail and just so that you know that He can look at us and say that poor, pitiful person down there. I get complex ridden sometimes if I ain't careful. You're the pastor of Baptist Church sometimes. You get all kinds of complexes. Amen. Man, you'll have yourself talked into things that people's mad at you when they ain't and people love you when they don't. That's scary. Amen. Ain't that right, Brother Marvin? Amen, brother. Listen, you need to understand that He's on our side. God is for me and God is for you. Now, if you're serving Him, if you're saved and serving Him, He's for you tonight. Ain't you glad that God in heaven is for you? He's for you. Listen, tonight, He's going to fight for us. You better be glad that God knows how to fight. And you better be glad that He gives you the strength to be able to fight. What was it He said on Ephesians chapter 6? He said, what was it? Be strong in the power of His might. I sat in my recliner the other day and I get so frustrated with everything that's going on right now. And get so aggravated with the COVID. I get so aggravated with the times we're in, with politics and everything. And I just told the Lord, I just want to quit everything. He said, fine, quit. That's what came back to my mind, Brother Jeff. I said, I don't want to quit. And here's the scripture that comes just as soon as I said, I don't want to quit. Then endure hardness as a good soldier. I mean, just as soon as I said, I don't want to quit. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, some things are just hard. Some of y'all served in the military. You know, sometimes it's just hard to serve, ain't it? It's just hard to serve. I think sometimes in the midst of our trials and our problems and all the... And listen, I know every one of us has got problems. I know that I'm not preaching to anybody in here that's perfect and everything's going the way you want it to go. I know that tonight. But I want you to understand something tonight. I think sometimes God might be trying to mold us and shape us along the way. He might be trying to knock some rough edges off of us and teaching us to trust Him. Just teaching us to trust Him. We got to learn to trust, don't we? Got to learn to trust. But you got to understand that He's for us tonight. He's for us. He has not left you and me to fight in this battle by ourselves. No matter the fight, He will always be there. He'll always be there. You need to grasp that tonight. You need to get a hold of that. As you've heard me say, a lot of times I fight stuff in my mind, and it can sometimes almost conquer you or feel like it's going to conquer you. But the Lord is so good to come by and show up. To know that He is for us and not against us. To know that He is on my side. Romans chapter 8 said it like this. I was reading this the other day and thought I might preach on it sometime. He said in verse 35, He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Has any of us ever been there? I know some of us might have been in tribulation. Might have been in distress. You ever been in distress? I'm not sure how many of us has ever been in under persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. He says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." He didn't say we were conquerors. He said we were more than conquerors. You know, to conquer something means to win. He said, "You're more than that." And it's because of Him. It's through Him and His love for us. Then Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's for us and He's always on our side. And if you believe the Scripture, He'll always be there. How do you trust? How do you trust in the midst of fear? You realize that He is for you. And you know that tonight. You get a hold of that. You try your best to figure that out tonight. Amen. Number three, how do you trust in the midst of fear when He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee"? God has always gave us a place to rest in Him. Psalms chapter 91, the psalmist again. If you ever read the book of Psalms, you'll find in one Psalms David is up, and in the next Psalms David is down. And in the next two Psalms David is up, and in the next three Psalms David is down. Does that sound much like your life? We look at people's lives and we think, boy, they got it made, and it's just everything's running so smooth, and they love God, and God is smiling on them. They ain't got no problems. And I can remember a day in my life when I believed that and thought that. Now listen, I don't want to preach you down in the mouth tonight and give you the mullet grubs before you get out of here. I'm trying to get you out of them tonight. But look at Psalms chapter 91. I'll read it to you. You ain't got to go over there. Psalms 91, he starts, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And remember, He gives us a place of rest. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Is that not what we're doing tonight? "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers," with His feathers, "and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." He said what? "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." Where are you dwelling at tonight? How close are you to the Lord? You know, if you'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Amen? Get in the secret place. Draw up and begin to read His Word and begin to pray and begin to seek Him and begin to just draw as close to Him. And here's what David said. He said, "I'll dwell where? I'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's pretty close when you're in somebody's shadow, ain't it? Pretty close. "And here's what I'll say about the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my God In Him will I trust. He's my refuge and my fortress. Refuge is a place that you can run to and hide. You remember the cities of refuge that was made in the Old Testament when they went over to the land of Canaan, that if a man killed somebody by accident, he could run to the city of refuge and go in and gain access and stay in there and hide out. As long as he wasn't guilty of murder, he could stay in there. I mean, if it was an accident, you know, the Lord knew accidents was going to happen, didn't he? But he said right here, he's my refuge and my fortress. But then in the midst of all that, he said, he's my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Boy, just as that old hen would go out there and cover up her chicks with her feathers, he said, he shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You can believe God. You can trust Him. What was it David said in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me through the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Puts us in a place of rest, don't He? You run to Him, you can rest. Again, you come back to what Paul said when we come to Macedonia. Our flesh had no what? No rest. But we were troubled on every side with outward fightings, within were fierce. Nevertheless, God that what? Comforteth. That's what God does. Comfort us. Fear will rob you of trust. Fear will rob you of comfort. Fear will rob you of rest. Fear will just rob you. Maybe you're fearful tonight of eternity. Maybe you're fearful tonight because you're not saved. Well, you can come and get saved tonight and no longer have any fear. But if you're fearful tonight of a situation in your life, a problem that's in your life, something that's going wrong in your life, you're fearful about that. The same God that saved you, the same God that keeps you, can help you tonight. You trust Him by knowing Him, by knowing His Scripture, by knowing what He's done in the past. You trust Him because you know He's for you and He's going to fight for you and He's on your side tonight. You trust Him because He can give you a place of rest tonight to lay down. Oh, what can the Lord do for you? Let's bow our heads tonight. By our hands. We're not going to tarry long. We're going to have no music tonight. But if you need to come and pray, I want you to come. Boy, if you're fearful tonight, if God has spoke to your heart tonight and Lord said, I just want to help you tonight, would you come and just talk to Him? Gather up around this altar and talk to Him. You don't have to live fearful tonight. But maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. Tonight would be a good night for you to come to know Him. You don't have to live fearful and wonder about things. You can trust Him tonight.